This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stuff I've Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio.
Yes. And y'all, in the world of finding that perfect mate or mates, trying to find a compatible partner is still hard. That's what we've discovered. recently had some social time with friends. Yes, I actually went out. Surprise. And the group was mixed up with a lot of different people with different stages in their relationship, which is interesting to me. Surprisingly, the number of couples, married couples of the group, were the minority. I think there was only like two people who were married out of the group of 20. We had several 30-year-olds who were single in the group. And then we had a few long-term couples who were not quite married. We did have a couple of people who lived with, had people who lived with, which apparently is still a no-no, according to most of the sites. They said that cohabiting can actually set you up to fail, which I think is still odd to me. I don't understand that, but whatever. We'll see, won't we? Just kidding. And then we had one or two divorced people, I believe, in that mix as well. Not too many. They were just as, like, probably around the same as the married couple. So 50-50. Haha. Like the statistics, hey. I guess. It was a true mixed bag, which naturally led into a lot of stories of dating and having a conversation about that and what was happening today. And guess what, Annie? Dating is still scary. Just want you to know this. Newly divorced people who met their previous partners at school or the old school way of, like, you know, a meet cute, as you and I have talked before, have recently been venturing into the online dating world and have gotten quickly overwhelmed at not only the characters they oftentimes meet, but the swiftness of the timeline of online dating, which you and I have talked about previously, about how, like, it just goes quickly because you talk, and if you talk too long, either it fizzles out very quickly or you're expected to, like, jump into a relationship because you quote-unquote know each other. Mm-hmm. Which begs the question, has it changed much in the last couple of years? Because we definitely did have an episode about online dating or dating in the era of a pandemic. And though the pandemic has not necessarily stopped or, like, has gone away because COVID still exists. Things are spreading. More things are spreading. We talked about malaria not too long ago, and that's a thing.
Yeah.
But all these things are still happening. But we are now going out. As I said, I went out and hung out with a group of people, and I was very awkward and tired. So what does it look like today? So first, we're going to talk about statistics because that's what we do. Statistics of dating and what exactly is happening. One thing for sure, many adults in the U.S. find it hard to date today. Nearly half of Americans believe it's gotten harder to date in the last 10 years. And not too surprisingly, women especially find it hard to date, with like 55% of them attesting to the fact. And this is from a 2020 Pew Research article. And I know that's in the mid of the pandemic. Those numbers have only increased, by the way. And within those stats, at least 62% of the Black women and 50% of Hispanic women would agree to that. So their numbers are even higher. And women are twice as likely to say that it is due to increased risks that dating has become harder. And I don't think that's surprising. We've talked about it repeatedly, about how dangerous it is to date, how dangerous it is to turn someone down. I feel like my TikTok videos, a lot of them are like men asking women why their standards are so high, and then women having to explain why their standards are so low. It's one or the other. There's no in between. And then having to come back to we have to play it safe for the sake of our own health, literally physical well-being, because we might die. And then things like what's happened on the news in Canada recently with the stabbing in the gender studies class, which is one more thing to add to, like, yeah, we're petrified of men, and this is why. There are other statistics that are a bit more surprising, like the fact that a majority didn't think that online dating made it harder or easier to date, which I assume there would be an opinion. But there wasn't. Yeah. And here's a quote from AmericanSurveyCenter.org about the gender divide on why dating is difficult. Many Americans believe that dating has become more difficult than it once was, but men and women disagree somewhat about whether dating is more difficult for women or for men. The majority of Americans, including most Americans who are single, do not believe that dating is any more difficult for men or women. More than 6 in 10, 62% of Americans say that when it comes to dating, neither men or women have a more difficult experience, which is countering what we just talked about. Roughly equal numbers of Americans believe that dating is more difficult to men, 17%, as say it is more difficult for women at 19%. So obviously these are different numbers than what we said above, but I would cling to the Pew numbers, I think, who actually do this, but whatever. And it goes on, there are predictable differences between men and women. Women are more likely to believe that dating presents greater challenges to women, 27%, while men are more likely to believe that men, 28%, face greater challenges when it comes to dating. Gender differences are most pronounced among young adults. 30% of young men believe that men have a harder time when it comes to dating, while more than 1 in 3, 34%, believe they face greater difficulties in dating. So I think the younger, and that does come into play, by the way, the Gen Zers versus the millennials. Pretty interesting. And I think that has a lot to do with the conversation that men believe feminism has made it harder, and the hashtag Me Too has made it harder for them to date. So they are more likely to whine about that. And I said that.
Yeah. And I think it's also like, it's a really unfortunate, toxic part of a lot of our modern, especially like heteronormative dating, is that women do have to take these precautions. And men who maybe aren't creeps are kind of getting rebuffed by women who are worried that they might be. And so it just kind of like exacerbates itself. Like it's not good for anybody.
Nobody.
It's not good for anybody. No. All right. But with that, to no one's surprise, online dating is one of the most used forms of finding a date or a partner. In 2022, 366 million users were on a dating app, which is over 45 million more than the previous year, of which 3 out of 4 were looking to find a committed relationship. And LGBTQ users are 2 times as likely to use a dating app, 55% of LGBTQ users versus 28% of straight users. And with that, over 13% of online users got engaged or married from a dating app. But 23.7% claim they have not gone on more than 2 dates. But even with those types of statistics, 54% of the online users say that relationships started online are just as successful as those started IRL. And the stigma has changed with time, as where once it was something a lot of people would joke about or make up the the meet cute, the how we met stories. It is now common enough that meeting people IRL first is more unusual, or that's how it seems.
Yes, especially in my group of people. Me telling about my partner and I who met because we were neighbors versus the online dating is unusual. So here's one more study as reported by the AmericanSurveyCenter.org about dating and the gender divide. The January 2023 American Perspective Survey shed some light on dating preferences, experiences, and perspectives. The national survey of more than 5,000 adults age 18 and older, including nearly 800 single adults, finds that Americans have strong dating preferences when it comes to living at home, being unemployed, and smoking. These are especially salient considerations for women. Politics is another important consideration for many Americans, especially committed partisans. Most Republicans and Democrats say they would be much less interested in dating those of the opposite political persuasions. And we talked about that during the pandemic, especially with the Trump administration. Yeah. That brought a huge divide very quickly. And it has not gotten any better. Any better.
Nope.
And yeah, once again, as we mentioned numerous times, less and less people are inclined to get married. From that same American Survey article, marriage is also facing increasing competition from other types of social arrangements, such as cohabitation. The number of Americans cohabitating with their romantic partner has more than doubled over the past three decades. It's become a widely accepted practice, particularly among younger Americans. I'm going to put myself in that younger category. nearly 6 in 10 younger Americans report having cohabitated with a romantic partner. Nowhere is the decline of marriage more evident than the lives of young adults. Overall, more than 1 in 3 Americans have never been married. Only 25% of young adults ages 18 to 34 are currently married, a dramatic decline over the past few decades. In 1978, younger adults were almost twice as likely to be married at 59%. That is a huge significant decrease.
Yeah. Yep. And it looks like with all of this, women are even less interested in dating after the pandemic. Here's some more numbers for you from the American Survey Center. Single women are much more likely than single men to say this is a major reason they are not dating, 45% versus 29% respectively. An identical number, 36% of single Americans say that difficulty meeting people is a major reason they are not dating. Roughly equal numbers of single men, 35%, and single women, 38%, say this is a major factor. Not being able to find someone who measures up is another important reason many Americans cite. Of single Americans, 30% say that not being able to find someone who meets their expectations is a major reason they are not dating. Women cite this as a factor more often than men do. Nearly 4 in 10, or 38%, single women, compared to less than one quarter, 23% of single men, say an inability to find someone who meets their expectations is a major reason they are not dating. This is an especially salient issue for college-educated women. Close to half, 45%, of college-educated women say not being able to find someone who meets their expectations is a major factor, while only 28% of women without a college education feel the same. This education gap is slightly smaller among men. One-third, 33%, of college-educated men claim not finding someone who meets their standards is a major factor for them, compared to 19% of non-college-educated men.
That college thing really gets at them.
That's why the conservatives rail against it. You go to your liberal college and then you don't want to get married.
That's true. It's true. You get out of the kitchen and get some learning. And then you don't want to be my wife.
Now it's ruined. You're going to die alone.
No one's going to take care of you except for your dog. I'm okay with that. And some of the reasons may be due to men, and we're speaking here in the heteronormative standards, not meeting expectations, and women having more deal breakers. And I'm a firm believer in sticking to those deal breakers. It's okay to have them. Mm-hmm. The same article writes, women more than men report having a greater number of potential deal breakers when it comes to dating. They are also more likely to report having difficulty finding someone who meets their expectations. But for many young women, dating expectations refer less to a laundry list of must-have qualities and more to basic standards of how they wish to be treated. Yeah, I feel like that shouldn't be a surprise.
Yeah.
But I feel like they also had to say it.
It's true. I've said before, one of the reasons like my ex and I when we were having like our exit breakup survey. I was like, you were never going to, I'm always going to feel more responsible to do things like domestic things than you. And it's how we were both raised. And I can't change that. Like, we can work on it. We could talk about it. But the truth is, I'm going to end up resenting you and you're going to end up resenting me. We're not on the same level.
I don't know. I wonder if people could find that even today. Like, especially I say that in my generation. I feel like Gen Zers may have better luck. Mm-hmm. But I am a elder millennial. Like, I am still quite on the cusp of being a Gen Xer. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think my generation is a little different, even more old-fashioned than the younger and younger. Like the,
right.
the newer millennials. Huh. Anyway, sad. And yeah, as we talked about in our earlier dating episodes, politics and beliefs are pretty high on the list of possible green or red flags. Issues like abortion, voting habits, and religious beliefs are high on the list of considerations. We've talked about our own standards. And yeah, if you voted for Trump at any point, even if you think it's a mistake today, probably not.
No,
you're yes. already man, like, X'd out. This is your fault. Where we are today is your fault.
Yeah. You specifically.
I don't know who you are, but just you.
Yes.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the best ways to meet possible partners.
Ooh.
According to TheKnot.com, these are the top dating trends of 2023, according to experts.
Wait, do you know what TheKnot.com is?
That's like the wedding.
Yeah, okay.
It's like the wedding registration. I've been to weddings. How dare
just
you?
Just checking.
That's fair. I still love that you could hear it on the Daily Zeitgeist when they said meet cute, and I had no idea what they were talking about. And I just tried to pretend for a second. And then it just became very clear. I did not know.
Don't know what's
so happening. That's fair. All right. Infladating, which is a term coined by Plenty of Fish, the app, which states is, quote, going on less expensive dates due to inflation in the current economic environment. Rising prices are affecting all aspects of our lives, including dating. Nearly half, 48% of single millennials and Gen Z have suggested going on a less expensive, budget-friendly date. Which, by the way, I think is just smart. I don't think, inflation or not, don't put too much pressure on that date.
That first date, especially.
Especially the first date. Conscious swiping, and that's exactly what it sounds like, is conscientiously swiping compatible choices or dating with intention, which we talked about. Some people, it's really gamified in a lot of instances.
Yes.
So this is sort of the answer to that.
So others could be avoiding situationships. We talked about this term before, the kind of together, but not really, you know, more than a buddy, but not a full relationship, and follows along the intentional dating idea. So don't do those. Essentially, sober dates, which again is exactly how it sounds, choosing to date with drinking less. And the overall alcohol consumption, as noted on Tinder, has decreased for dating habits, which is not how I did it, but it's probably the recommended way to do this. And this would replace dates revolved around eating and drinking into more creative outings that test each other's compatibility. So I don't know, maybe finding a hobby, hiking. I actually ran with a dude as a date. That was really awkward, though.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a...
That was when I was in my half marathon phase, too. I was like, okay, let's go. But this dude was like 6'2", and my 5'4" self, like, and I'm a pace runner when I was running.
Right.
So this dude's going, I'm like, I'm fine. And I sweat real bad, and I turn real red. So it was not cute.
That's like a good, like, we've been dating for a while thing, but not an early date.
I don't know why we did this, but we did. Anyway. And then there's research-backed dating tips, like listening to this episode or other episodes about dating and learning who you are, your attachment styles, learning what red flags to look for, and looking out for negative or manipulative behaviors.
I think that one's really important. yes. Building healthy habits with tech. With all kinds of apps for all kinds of things, such as meditation apps, life coaching apps, building better habit apps. People have so much more access. So for those who take advantage of the tech that help build healthier habits, it could help build healthier relationships as well. So this list says. I would also say, like, there's a caution, especially for someone like me, like you mentioned that checklist earlier. Like, don't get too far into that category.
Don't get too obsessive into that level. Like, no. It has to be all these things.
Right. By 30, it has to be this or something. Don't do that. Chasing the meet cute IRL. As with everything in the world, we have come back to appreciating the meet cute or spontaneous meeting. Many are trying to create situations where they can meet someone in person. According to going to Home Depot and just asking around, which does sound like a nightmare, but you know.
You do you.
This was the advice I used to give to my friends who really wanted to date. It was always like, just pursue what you really like in a like kind of group fashion and just see what happens like organically. Right.
I think people would do like intermittent sports.
Yeah.
To do this, to try to meet people, to find new hobbies. There are meetups. Is that still a thing?
I think so. Okay. I'm sure during the pandemic it took a hit, but I'm pretty sure.
I think, though, it's majority made up of women. So if you're a queer woman, this might be great, but...
I mean, again, going back to that, like, safety thing, I'm sure, like, if there's a group of people in the same boat, you feel a little better.
There's still the speed dating, Annie, if you ever want to try that, too. I've never heard of being successful for anyone, but I'm just saying.
Listeners, if anyone has had it, successful or not, please write
it. I need to know, because I'm still curious about stuff like that. So there are some of the current trends, but since we brought up the old school meet cutes, we wanted to see if the old school tradition of blind dates is still happening. And according to one article, it is on the rise, but it's actually app-based. So there is one called Blindly, Blindlee, which is a, quote, blind dating app that hosts 3-minute blurred video calls between users who match each other's criteria In-app pop-ups offer icebreaker prompts, and as time goes on, the option to gradually unblur the video image. After 3 minutes, the app asks participants if they want to continue the conversation. If they both say yes, only then will it create a match and the conversation can continue. So the co-founder of the site, Sasha, I hope I say it right, Nason, said of the app, "We have seen there is a very high likelihood that people will continue chatting via messages or videos because they already had this ice-breaking moment." This app launched in 2019 and has grown since the pandemic, and it's currently at 50,000 users.
And more blind date apps like this have popped up. Many sites blur out photos or don't reveal photos until after a certain amount of messages are sent, perhaps inspired by things like Love is Blind, the reality series. Although one of the big concerns with sites like these is that people pose the risk of being catfished, but different sites have assured users that they verify all users.
I don't know how.
I was thinking about this. There's a horror movie based on this, by the way. Of course there is.
It's really good, actually.
Obviously.
But I was thinking about, because I've had some friends tell me, going back to one of those statistics you said earlier about women during the pandemic wanting to date less, is that they don't feel comfortable with their bodies anymore during like the pandemic. And so I wonder like if that's part of the appeal with this or not. I would be interested to know. I've just had a handful of friends say something like that to me, that they don't feel comfortable with whatever weight they've gained during the pandemic, that they don't want to date anymore. All right. So speaking of apps, old, new, and faves, here are some of the top apps today, as well as some of the newest ones. According to mindbodygreen.com, here are some: best serious relationship app, eHarmony; best dating over 50, Match; best dating app for kink, Field; best dating over 40, OkCupid; best for women, Bumble; best for young adults, Hinge; best for gay men, Grindr; best for lesbians, Her; best for working professionals, The League, which is very expensive; and best for hookups is Tinder, which my friends have echoed a lot of these sentiments.
Yeah. So, I didn't realize OkCupid was over 40 because I was using it early 30s.
Well, I mean, that's probably changed as more things have entered the the field.
Yeah. As in fact, here are some new ones for 2023, according to datingadvice.com. The Sauce, which uses video chats and video profile features, and apparently 95% of Sauce dates lead to a second date. So, you know, there's that statistic.
Yeah.
Stir is a sister app to Match and is specific to single parents. Snack, which by these names, these names are getting me, okay? Snack, specifically aimed toward Gen Zers and is marketed as not your parents' dating app, which makes me feel really old. Really, really old, because I believe I was using the apps that would be considered your parents' dating apps. Fine, I'm fine. From, or First Rounds on Me, is designed to, quote, encourage people to be more confident in themselves and their quest for companionship through face-to-face interaction. So in this app, a user literally sends a drink request with a type of drink, date, time and location, and then the receiver can change details, accept or decline, and if it's set, they just meet up.
Huh. Okay.
That's the whole intention. TapDat, and I'm sorry, but that is TAPDAT. I'm not trying to use A, B, E, or being sarcastic in any way, is a straight-up hookup site. So they're trying to replace Tinder, I think. Smile, and from the dating article, it says, software engineer Melissa Mullen created the Smile app after realizing that her best relationships have been with people who shared her humor. She designed Smile to match singles based on shared sense of humor. On Smile, you're paired with each potential match based on what you have in common comedically. After a few hours of chatting, you can see what your match looks like, but the laughs come first. Is a great way to keep dating fun while avoiding focusing on less important things like superficial appearance or social media presence. I really like that idea. Because I'm pretty funny, damn it.
Yeah. It's a certain type of humor, but yeah.
Hey. But yeah, I found that interesting. I was like, huh, I wonder how that goes. Do you like pick out comedians? Do you pick out movies? how do you even get there? So if someone has used this, I need to know, because it sounds like a really great idea.
Yeah.
But how does it work?
Yes.
Yeah. And these are just a few for if you're trying to find different options today. There's more on that list. Again, it was from datingadvice.com, and they had several other. They had Zusk on there, which is not new, but I guess it's gotten more popular as of late. But there's some more if you so want to go check them out.
There's some more. But with all of that, interestingly, several of the alumni apps have been accused of trickery, including Hinge, who recently was accused on TikTok for gatekeeping the better matches. Now, with more and more apps adding an upgraded version of their apps for a subscription fee, it wouldn't be too surprising to see this happen on any site. There are those who found a way to skirt around gatekeeping and teach others to do the same. So users, but essentially, yeah, you have to pay for the good matches.
Right. And that's, I mean, like whether it's like you can request specific types of conversations. I think like, I don't know if it was Coffee Meets Bagel. Like if you wanted to have more than two matches a day, you had to pay. Like there, it's definitely all out there. But Hinge was specifically accused of holding back some of their better quality of people. And then one user was like, so all you really need to do is deny all of them. Just swipe no on all of them. And then eventually they have to give it to you because you run out of people or they're going to lose you altogether. So I was like, oh, well, that's smart. At the same time, it's kind of sad because do you miss out? Because if you're on there long enough, people repeat. You see
it's
them on
true.
Everything.
According to my friends, I've never used one.
Maybe it's just Atlanta. Yeah. Atlanta's the smallest. I think we've talked about the fact that I've never matched with the same person as one of my friends. Because we had very different taste, which is surprising because we all of us were on there. But
yeah, that was like my greatest fear. It was one of the reasons I never used one.
Yeah. or we had made sure, like if we matched with someone, like we would check with each other. Have you seen this dude? Have you been on?
Yes.
That was always a good way to go too. But with all of this, a new article written in the New York Times suggests that women are actually taking the summer off of online dating. In the article written by Gina Chorellis, I really hope I said that correctly, she says, as the days grow longer and the weather warmer, there are some who are opting out of dating apps, at least for now. Of nearly a dozen women interviewed, many said they were reclaiming this time they had spent in the cold winter months swiping through dating apps by prioritizing real-life encounters and focusing on having fun. Many women interviewed in the article spoke of being burnt out from online dating scenes, tired of casually dating or matching up with people who were not compatible. So a lot of them were like, they were doing casual dating and a lot of women were looking for relationships. They'd been on the site since the beginning of dating apps and they were tired of this conversation. So, yeah. And like we said before, they kind of regurgitate the same men. It's almost like you guys are all, and I say you guys, myself included. Like, I would be on the same timeline of like, well, that didn't work. I'm back.
Yeah. And it is exhausting going on dates. Like, it can be really fun. But
the
if it's over and over
part.
And over, you're like, okay, yeah, I just want to go home.
You just put down the phone, delete everything, just like crawl up in a fetal position, hug your dog.
Or go outside and have fun. But
that's
one of the
ridiculous, Annie. How dare you be proactive and healthy? Or perhaps some of them are having even worse experiences, like those who had been chatfished. And though it's been around for longer than I had realized, actually, the trend of chatfishing, or a practice in which men from incel communities set up a fake dating profile posing as Chads, and this is like the perfect dude who can get any girl, according to incels, and if you want to know more about that, you can listen to our earlier incel episode, and they do this in order to trick and humiliate women.
Right. Here's a little bit of an explanation from thedailydot.com. The dupe involves fooling women into virtual relationships using fake Tinder profiles, just like catfishing. But instead of pretending to be perfect, incels use these accounts to act like a Chad, slang for conventionally attractive men with awful personalities who still manage to attract women. The incel, or involuntarily celibate, community often blames these conceptualized men for its members' own sexual failings. While threads about chatfishing go back as far as 2016, it became a trend within the incel community just last year. men angry at their perceived inability to attract sexual partners because of these supposed chads called the practice the ultimate black pill. Essentially, proof that their ghastly assumptions about what women wanted in a relationship were right. After chatting with women on Tinder, the Chad Fishers would ghost the women or share their nudes without consent. Ironically, many men found that even while pretending to be a Chad, they still struggled to convince women to sleep with them, and a few were even ghosted themselves. Which is just glorious.
I don't think that's ironic. I think eventually your personality just comes out. If you stay on longer than one or two chats, you're like, this is odd.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI. And Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered. Could just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And a recent article from news.com.au talks about the uprising of chatfishing in Australia in 2023. In a report, they share messages that have been published on incel forums about the practices. And here are some of the messages and incidents they reported. Quote, "My hobby is chatfishing whores. I arrange days and stand them up at bars," he continued. "It's fun to deflate their ego and make them waste money on Ubers, fuel, and parking." And then another example, and this is a quote, "And in possibly the worst example, the incel targeted a recently divorced 41-year-old woman who had told him she was a little lost, eventually standing her up three separate times and describing it as his best one yet." And he goes, "After I stood her up first time, she concocted a story about receiving bad news as a reason to leave. She apologized and hinted at another date another time," he told his twisted followers. "I knew she was desperate for a Chad, so I started f***ing with her, testing her reaction to Chad's multiple women stashed around the city. She said, 'Teehee, you're so funny, Chad.' So I stood her up a second time, and I have a third time with a different Chadfish." Yeah, so those are two of the awful stories, which I'm... like, reading that doesn't sound believable.
It could be a lie. It could be. And the purpose of all of this is to abuse women. Here's a quote from MailMagazine.com. Ostensibly, they're looking to prove that women are superficial sluts willing to hop into bed with any guy sporting chiseled abs, regardless of his awful personality. In practice, it's about gaining the opportunity to verbally abuse women in Tinder chats.
Right. And here's something from incels.is. This is an actual site. Because we love you, I did look through it. I'm very unhappy about it. But here is a chatfishing/catfishing guide that someone posted. It says, make sure you stay consistent with the first and last name when making fake accounts. Just pick any chat name like Tyler Hunter or something. Make your chats age from 22 to 24 years old. You can skip steps 1 and 2, and there's all these steps, if you have a spare Facebook account. So step 1, make a Gmail account. And then create a whole account with phone numbers. Step 2, make a Facebook account, which I feel like, because this was 2016, I think it's kind of outdated now. using your real number and your Chaz Gmail, which doesn't sound smart, but okay. Next is something like downloading a text me or a WhatsApp, I believe, to spoof phone numbers. And then it warns them if you use your own number, people can do a reverse lookup. So be careful. Create an account on Snapchat, and then talk about how to find followers and make sure they have followers, and they give you video instructions. Finding the right chat, and they give you like 5 rules about, you know, what a right chat is, including Instagram and having girl. Yeah. And then about having a chat who is a YouTube vlogger, which I feel like that would be an obvious, like, yeah, obviously, you know, like, what? Like, you can find out where these people are from. Like, mm-hmm. That doesn't sound smart. This app. So I'm also going to read some of the comments below in a minute, but okay. And then he gives an example of pictures to use for catfishing. Then he talks about finding girls, but he doesn't spell find. There's so many spelling mistakes in this. So I have to imagine it's a 14-year-old doing this, to be honest.
Oh, boy.
Use pictures from chat Instagrams as your dating pictures and profiles. Also, to be careful of certain times because they can be reversed for image proof, which many women have found out. Make a fun bio, like, you know, putting about how I'm a great cuddler. You can wear heels. I'll kill spiders for you. And then also make up fake weaknesses, like a job interview. You know, I'm too dependable.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I'm too so focused on work.
Reliable. That's
so reliable.
Ridiculous.
Who knew? I'm so, that people love me. But like some of the comments on here, which is hilarious because of like the pictures on it in itself is ridiculous. But one of them says, damn, awesome thread. The Gmail and Facebook thing sounds like work and effort than the actual catfishing. Again, the spelling on here is amazing. And it says, this one dude is like, you're a saint, thanks, except you are is Y-O-U-R. Someone complained that this was too much work. It says, I used to catfish using online dating apps, but they got suspicious since didn't have a social media like Instagram. Might use this though, thanks. All these, like, I don't know. It says, great, thanks, we'll get on it. JFL, just for laughs. Lingo. At the White Knights here asking what's the point of this. The point is to make the Tinder experience unpleasant for as many girls as possible. Tinder is the number one cause of hypergamy, and it's killing us, so we may as well try to kill it back. Which a lot of them were like, are you doing this for nudes? Like, are you, this is too much work, dude, for nudes. Are you, like, it's.
It did have a lot of specific, Samantha didn't read all of the.
Hypergamy is the action of marrying or forming a sexual relationship with a person of a superior sociological or educational background. So he used the big word.
He did. They know the big words when it is involved with them not getting what they feel is deserved.
It is deserved. And there's just a lot of things. Bump for the people to see. Those chat Instagrams are suicide fuel. I'm not even the same species as them. I guess there's some self-deprecation in all this. But yeah, so essentially, these are the sites that are happening. I know at one point, I believe Reddit did take down one instructional Reddit site. But obviously, I found this very easily. All I did was literally put the word chatfishing, and this popped up very quickly. Mm-hmm. Do I think it's sensible? Do I think it's smart? Do I think it works? I hope not. But you never know who can be scammed so quickly. And yeah, there's reports of not only people doing this, but some of them actually show up with cameras, intending to humiliate them and then putting them on Reddit forums to humiliate women, and as well as doxing them, essentially, to shame mm-hmm. them for coming to wanting to be on a date with a catfished dating profile, which if they sound nice,
right?
Which again, I don't. This is where you know the boys on this site have no clue about the female gaze.
No.
Because those are even if they're real, those are the first ones I'm like, oh yeah, you really like the is your scene working out? Gone. Like definitely not. If that's the first thing you tell them about you love CrossFit, I'm out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've told the story a million times, but I remember once I rejected a guy and he just shouted at me, "It's because I'm not Brad Pitt, isn't it?" And I was like, no. That's not what it is. Like,
I wouldn't date Brad. He's also problematic, so no, but thank you.
Yeah, he's also like way older than me.
And then also it's the same, like when I got the dude who his opening line was, "I know you're not going to date me. I know that you probably will only date handsome white dudes and you won't take a chance with me." And he was an Asian dude. And I was like, I don't have a response to this. Like, you didn't say hello. He didn't even say his name.
Just like,
it was immediately on the defensive. And I was like, well, now I'm scared of you. So absolutely not. I don't, like, there's no chance in hell. If you had given me a funny line.
Right. Well, that's the thing is, like, so much of this to me sounds so defensive. It's already like, the only reason she doesn't like me is because I'm not Brad Pitt, but it's other things.
Well, the fact that you're already yelling at me would be the first
exactly.
Being aggressive on the jump is automatic red flag.
Yeah,
that's flag on the play route, dude, out. But yeah, that's, and of course, again, we're talking about this in very heteronormative conversations. When it comes to chatfishing, it is an incel group that are going after women who they feel are the blame for their virginity and lack of happiness, which kind of like they're not completely wrong because they're so focused on being miserable because they don't have something or they can't have something or they don't go after the right things. I don't know. But like they make it come true, essentially. But it's very concerning that this kind of practice is still happening. And then we talked about AI and what's happening with AI and how quickly that has changed things and how quickly that will change even further for women who may be victims of this type of pranks and harmful behaviors. We know it's going to be bad. We talked about the fact that they're making bad revenge porn just for through AI. So there's a lot of conversations of like what this is and what it's going to do and the power of how this is going to be and what we need to look out for, because this practice has already happened even before the technology.
Yeah. And I saw a headline about that the other day that revenge porn is on the rise. It's a lot to look out for when you're just trying to have a date.
Just want to find a mate. Who I can laugh with.
Have fun. Yeah. Oof. Well, if anyone is in the dating world,
yeah.
We've heard some stories from you all before, but let us know.
Give us updates. Give us the good things too. We're not just talking about the bad things. But you know, if you try some of these sites that sounds really kind of interesting, let us know.
Mm-hmm. You can email us at StephanieAmomStuff@iHeartMedia.com. You can find us on Twitter at MomStuffPodcast or on Instagram and TikTok at Stuff I've Never Told You. We also have a YouTube and we have a TeePublic store. You can pre-order our book. It comes out August 29th. You can pre-order it at StuffYouShouldReadBooks.com or on Audible for the audiobook. Thanks as always to our super producer, Christina, our executive producer, Maya, and our contributor, Joey.
Thank you all.
Yes. And thanks to you for listening. Stuff I Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because Boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.